Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host and president of Coins Plus. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service, and has been so for over two decades. We're always actively buying and selling all forms of precious metals, gold, silver. We highly believe in it. I got some interesting stuff to read today that I wrote in 2011 and et cetera that I think has some really neat content. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western region. Just for a quick peace of mind, if you're ever thinking of, it started back in the day when we were we had half a pounder's jewelry, and you know, people would call and say, "I want this amount of silver and this amount of gold." And silver's a lot bulkier than people realize. And they'd come in and they'd want they have $100,000, and they'd say, "I want half silver, half gold." Back then, silver was a lot less, and they just would get this mammoth pile of silver, and, you know, gold's all compact, and they'd stare at it and go, "Now what do I do with it?" They didn't know where to go, and we'd be always referring them to go buy safes and vaults. And then I eventually built the building, and I was going to get into the safe business, but then we got way too busy. I left my building, a big section of it, open to expand into, and then, like I said, business just got crazy, and I just kept adding employees, and it was just too much. And looking back, probably should have done it, but because it's still good to have a nice home safe. If you have a home safe, folks, I'm going to tell you, it's money is an important factor. If you have like a gun safe, Cabela's quality gun safe, okay, I'm going to be straight up, they're not secure. Okay, just the truth is, they're not secure against a knowledgeable individual. I was going to say hardened criminal, but I'm not a hardened criminal, and I know enough about safes, I can get in and out of one of those pretty quick. You'd be shocked, okay? So if you have a safe, it depends on how much you've invested, okay? If you want to keep stuff at home, if you're up in the six figures, and you want a safe, you buy a TL rated safe that's at least a TL-15. That means the tool limit of 15 minutes. You're like, 15 minutes. It takes 15 minutes for somebody to get in with a tool, with special tools, with really powerful electric tools and a lot of knowledge. And the way they test them is they put them in a warehouse. They get two guys. Okay. So a TL-15 is 15 minutes with two guys. But the way they test them is they put guys in a room or in a big area, wide open space, with every tool they could ever have, want, diamond cut or diamond edge blades, diamond edge drill bits, everything. And then these guys go at it. Okay, you got to remember, number one, these guys are in no way restricted by space, which you always are in a home. They're no way restricted by the fear of getting caught. They're no way restricted by how much noise they make. They're no way restricted by how much power or electricity they can use. That's why when we built our building, we built it so that there is no external power, so that I just said, if someone ever wants to break into my building, I'm not going to provide the power to do so. There's a couple spots with external power, but we have internal switches that you can shut them off. We put, even the roof ladder comes into a special vestibule with a vault door at the top, so they can't, get a ladder and hook up to our ladder and get on the roof. And there's just a lot of things I did that I overdid on the building. But the bottom line is, with the average individual coming into a home and trying to get through a safe, they've got so many barriers. And when they're worried about getting caught, they function differently. They're not going to have the best tools in the world. They're not going to have plasma cutters and all this stuff. So when they test these vaults that give you like a 15-minute rating, in reality, if they're in your home and you have a TL-15 safe and they really want to cut through the thing, it's going to take them 8 hours. a minimum. And you get to TL30 and it's crazy. It's impossible almost. And then they go to TL45 and they're ridiculous. But when you buy these gun safes from, like I said, Cabela's or Liberty Safes or, you know, it used to be the best home gun safe was Fort Knox. Still, I think, far as I know, probably still the best. AMSEC makes a decent safe, but they do have a low end all the way up to a high end. You know, you get into like Chubb safes and things like that. Allied Safe and Vault used to sell them. They closed. They've got another Safe and Vault store that's, I think, has the same owner. You know, not a bad place to buy a safe, probably. But you want to get – I'll just put it this way. Well, also, you want to anchor bolt it to your floor. If you have concrete, you're in the money. All these safes come with pre-built anchor bolt holes, and they'll give you the hardware. It comes with the safe. So you do need somebody with a big roto hammer and drill, you know, to get into the floor and do an anchor bolt. Or, I think that's what they call them. The big anchors they pound in, and then the bolt goes into that. And so they can't just tip it over and pull it out on a dolly. But, you know, just to let you know, if you're keeping stuff at home, just be safe. Be smart. Don't, you know, show it off. I don't know. I just, you know, and so if you've really got a significant quantity of metals, our security system, our safes, our vaults, our class 2 vaults, which they so far exceed any home safe you could ever buy, any bank safe, any jewelry safe, they just blow it away. We have 18 inches of a special composite concrete, which duplicates 36 inches of poured concrete. It's full of tool-destroying materials. It's amazing when they put in these big, huge, four-foot-wide panels. They craned them in when we were building the building. And they have these great big inch-thick metal sleeves. One slides into the other. They have to drop one down into the other. And they're just full of this weird stuff, you know, like these little rubberized-looking things and these white chips or these white chunks of really hard surface titanium alloys, just a mixture of stuff designed to snap drill bits, blow up blades, and then on top of that, so that's good, right? I mean, and then we got in our vault doors, you know, or whatever, 8 tons or whatever the heck, they're huge. I think they're bigger than that, but I think it might be 18 tons. I can't remember. They're full of steel plates that are just, you know, like three inches thick. And they have, we have time locks, triple time locks, so that you set each one of them to like 8 a.m. And we have a triplicate system, obviously. So if one fails, you're good. If two fails, you're still good. But once they're time locked, there is no way someone can get in. So someone could put a gun to an employee's head after hours on their way out and say, let me in that safe. They can't do it. We have dual locks on these Class 2 vault doors. So it's set up where it takes two employees to undo the combos. And so one employee will know one combo. Another employee will know another combo. It takes both of them to let you in. And you can take that even further when we had a larger staff where we had four employees. Each employee knew a half of the combo of two different locks. And, you know, there's a lot of that. But what's interesting, on top of all that, we wrapped those in 1-inch thick T12 resistant plate steel, which is the old school Class 2 vault. And anything that cuts steel won't cut the concrete, and so on and so forth. So I think I think unless you're really slow, you probably get my point. If you've got a significant quantity of stuff, you're so much better off keeping it here. And the rates are very reasonable. Our safe deposit boxes start at $60 a year. I know people say, well, my bank is $38 or whatever. Well, your bank is not reliable. They have no liability insurance. They have no coverage. We've had, I could not even begin to tell you the articles and the stories and experiences of people having stuff completely disappear. B of A had a deal a while ago where they had almost a whole wall of safe deposit boxes. Everything disappeared out of them. And they just looked at the people and went, can't do nothing for you. Have no proof of what was in there. You're done. You're on your own. We don't do that. We have liability insurance. If we make a mistake, it's our fault. Problem is knowing exactly what's in there because we don't know. And the way we designed ours, we have the best quality safe deposit boxes made. Each one is an individual safe in and of itself. It's about a half inch thick or better, half to three, probably three quarters inch thick of steel. It's just, I so overdid it when I built this building, folks. I could go on, and I don't want to waste the show. Just trust me. There is no building built like this in Spokane. It is built like, it is absolute exterior walls, 18 inches of solid concrete with 1-inch rebar every, like, 8 inches, you know, and on it goes. You get the point. 42 cameras, bullet and bomb resistant polycarbonate, sort of, et cetera. So, you know, when we had a 1-week power out, one of my, someone I knew called me and goes, aren't you checking your building every day? I'm like, no. And they're like, why not? I said, I don't have to worry about it. I mean, we've got corridor after corridor after corridor with these big 800-pound steel and concrete bomb-proof doors with sergeant locks, which are, you know, again, T1 tool-resistant annealed hard steel bolts. That the bolts are 2 inches wide and an inch thick, and they go into a steel and concrete threshold, and it just goes on and on. You get my drift, right? And so that's something that, you know, if you have a lot, keep us in mind. It's just smarter, it's wiser, it's easy. We don't report anything to anybody. When you're at the bank, it's the IRS. Everybody else on earth knows you have it. They take it. We had a situation years back with a savings and loan company that the FBI went in. I don't know the story. They never told anybody, but they called every person that had a box in a certain area of a safe deposit room. And I mean a lot of people. I'm talking like hundreds and hundreds. And they gutted all their boxes, put all their contents in these big plastic bags, called the people up, made them come pick them up. And said that they weren't, at that time, they weren't able to put them back in the box. What was the FBI doing? No one knows. I never found out. And I called that savings and loan, or it's actually not a savings and loan, it's a bank. They used to be a savings and loan, but it's a well-known bank in Spokane. I called them. No one would or could tell me anything about what was going on. So we had a lot of clients come up here and just put them in our boxes. Our boxes are completely private, anonymous. No one knows you've got them. I've had people go through bankruptcies and everything else. Stuff is absolutely confidential. And they say, who knows I have this? And I say, only those you've told. We keep no public records. We're not subject to the same, they call it CINFEN, C-I-N-F-E-N. Which I don't know exactly what it means, but it's some kind of federal banking legal stuff, or maybe it's FinCEN. It's the, what is it here? Let's see. The U.S. Department of Treasury. FinCEN is appointed by the Secretary of Financial. I don't even know what it is. It doesn't really say here. It says, FinCEN exercises regulatory functions primarily under the Currency and Financial Transactions Reporting of 1970, as amended by Title III of the USA Patriot Act of 2001 and other legislation, you know, which legislative framework is commonly referred to as the Bank Secrecy Act, which allows federal agents, oh my gosh, to view contents of safe deposit boxes, as under the Safe Deposit Box section, without the permission or knowledge of the box holder. They call it Bank Secrecy Act. The BSA is the nation's first and most comprehensive federal anti-money laundering and terror and counterterrorism financing, and it goes on and on and on. So basically, Congress has given FinCEN duties and responsibilities for the central collection, analysis, and dissemination of data reported under FinCEN's regulations and other related data in support of government and financial industry partners at the federal, state, local, and international levels to fulfill the responsibilities towards the detection and deterrence of financial crimes. Issues, and it goes through all this stuff. Bottom line is, folks, they got you. They can check your box anytime. They have keys, master keys. Guess what? Coins Plus has no master keys. We have what's called, some call it a slave key, some call it a guard key, but we have to put in our key and you have to put in your key. We give you two keys and we have one key. We cannot, under any circumstances, get into your box. We've been doing this a long time. Never have, never will, can't do it. Okay? You get those two boxes. Each box is individually keyed. We can't even hire somebody to come in and make keys. All they can do is we can drill a box where they go in with heavy duty equipment and drill a box, take out the locks, you know, et cetera, so forth and so on. But we've never done, I mean, we've done that, but you know, when people disappear or die or, you know, it's pretty rare. Most of the time someone claims it. So you get a box, you let someone know or put it in a will, whatever. And it's private and it's anonymous. So I'll just leave that at that. If you come and get stuff from us, that's why I say we have the highest rate of privately held depository service in the Western United States. So we're very active, high volume precious metals buyers and sellers. Very low are, you know, we, it's called, you know, Coins Plus, the name you can trust, has been our mantra for a long time. We are a high volume, low margin dealer, which means we want it all and we'll charge very little. I look at it as I want the Nile River of precious metals going through my shop, and our profit is a small ladle, just enough to drink, right? So we're not in the business of gouging. We're very fair. You see ads all over, folks, and they'll say Roslyn Capital. I always talk about the, you know, anytime, anywhere, well, you know, the best prices and all this. It's baloney. They can't touch our prices. No one can, because we wholesale to the public. We don't have any overhead. I just discussed this beautiful, phenomenal building, 12,000 square feet, built from the ground up with the most incredible levels of security in mind on the 6,000 feet we occupy. Even between us and the adjoining lease bays, massive parapet wall, you know, 18 inches of concrete and steel and so on and so forth. Nobody, you know, we made it as impenetrable as possible. It's a very unique building, very unique facility, one of a kind, super safe, and that's just who we are. So, and we do specialize in rare coins, you know, numismatic coins. We buy collections and estates and scrap gold jewelry, diamonds, and if you know anybody, or you or yourself, are selling coins or gold or silver or jewelry or anything like that, quality diamonds, come and see us. When, you know, I'm not going to fool you. I mean, people's expectations on diamonds can be high. I'd say 95% of the time, if somebody wants to sell a diamond and they get our quote and then they shop around, they always come back. The reason is diamonds aren't always worth as much as people think. And especially if you buy them at Fred Meyer or Zales or Weisfields. And, you know, I have a friend who, you know, he said, oh, my nephew hooked me up and he's got this really great deal at Weisfields. And on it went. And he paid so much for that. So much. Just way too much. And so he has a 5/8 carat marquee diamond in the center, 5/8 carat, and he paid $4,500 for a ring that's not nearly as nice as rings we can sell, but he paid $4,500 for a ring with a 5/8 carat stone in it. The ring we could sell for $1,000 or less, even with the sideband, and he's coming in for his 10th anniversary. And he's buying a 1 1/2 carat, or I'm sorry, 1 1/4 carat marquee. So over twice the size of the one he has. And it's a very nice, nice stone. And it's $2,500. Now, we get certain stones that have amazing qualities and properties. Where, like in the case of this one, it's an SI, which means slightly included, but the little inclusions are way down at the bottom by the collet, so you cannot see them with the naked eye at all, we without tipping the stone over and tilting it, and you got to know what you're looking for. The color's nice. The brilliance is phenomenal. We only keep stones that face up well. The real junkety junk we put in auctions because we don't want our customers to have gray and brown and, you know, stuff that, excuse the term, but in the jewelry business they call it frozen spit. And I'm sorry to use that term, but that's just a common industry term. And so anyway, that's who we are. We only keep the best for you, and we wholesale the public. It's not a revenue source as much as it is as a refuge in the jewelry business because the jewelry business has such extraordinary markups. But with us, you don't get the caviar and the champagne. We're just business. You know, we'll get you hooked up. We'll sell you stuff. We've got incredible wholesalers that build the best products in the world, and they do it through CAD drafting, which is so much better. You know, when you get a ring hand customized and people are so proud of them, they're never attractive. I mean, they just are not unless they're built by, like, Trout and Coffin and you paid $60,000 for the ring, which I don't think most of you probably do. One area that has absolutely become our area of expertise, specialty, whatever, is wealth and capital preservation. We are precious metals portfolio experts. We build balanced portfolios. It's very important to us that you get good product at a great price, and we win when you win. Our goal, we want to make you money. Our goal is to see you succeed. We don't have any commission salespeople. So nobody has an incentive to maximize profits over integrity and ethics. They want to get you the best product. So we hand select that. Typically the process is you drop off a check and then you wait, it might be a few days or whatever while we put together. I mean, if it's a large size check, we put together a portfolio. That's because we've got so many different portfolios overlapping. We discuss things and work things out and etc. We obviously have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry, which is kind of just silently sits there. But that's, you know, the source of our diamond and everything else. And we're always buying scrap gold jewelry and diamonds. And our motto is honesty, integrity, and professionalism. That has been my motto for over 20 years. And that's what we want to be for you. Coins Plus is at 3201 North Division, 444-0044 to contact us in order to do business. Now, I was going to do the show on love and forgiveness, okay? And I never do this, but I was digging through some old transcripts on my computer. And I found one that I really enjoyed all the information. It's a little bit random, but it's wisdom. I wrote it back many years ago, and I really enjoyed reading it. And I'll go through and cover the topics with you as well. It starts out. It says James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, sins. Okay, so if you know what's right to do and you fail to do it, it's a sin. Everyone always thinks sin is action. Okay, sin can be inaction. Okay, now, if God's prompting you to make a move, you listen to the show, you know you got to get some money secured. You need to act. You need to act on the Holy Spirit, that small, still voice, that little gut inside of you, okay? So remember that. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do, in other words, he who knows what's right to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. I'll go on down here. Silence in the face of evil, okay? Think of this. Now we're living in a world right now where socialism is on the rise. Socialism is aggressive. 77% of millennials are for it. Scare me. You've got Bernie Sanders saying he wants to finish what FDR started. FDR's first New Deal was the 10 planks of communism. Bernie Sanders came out with his recent promise everything to everybody speech. And Mark Levin was reading on Hannity. He said, I want to read you something. So he starts reading this stuff. Well, it's basically Bernie Sanders' speech. And Hannity's like, yeah, so it's Bernie Sanders' speech. Mark Levin says, no. It is the Constitution of the USSR, the Soviet Union. So, and Bernie's Bernie Sanders' speech was basically almost verbatim for out of the Constitution of the Soviet Union, a communistic state, okay? Communism, socialism, and Marxism are no different. I do not care what anybody tells you. Socialism, what they want socialism to be is where they confiscate and steal everyone's wealth and everyone's quiet and smiles and says thank you very much. It doesn't work that way because it goes from money to goods to produce, and people say no and they fight it, and then they create a military state to enforce it, and then people begin to unravel. And I went through a few shows ago, as you heard, the masses of people that have been murdered under communism, socialism, Marxism, to the point where Stalin executed 700,000 people simultaneously. I don't even know how that's possible, by shooting them in the back of the head. Mao Zedong, intentionally in China, starved 50 million people to reduce his population because he could not feed them. Why? Because socialism doesn't work. People are not motivated. It's contrary to human nature. You work so that you can eat. You work so you can enjoy life. You work so you can have the nice house or the boat or the, you know, this car, or you can have money and savings, whatever. You don't work so you can give it all away to the state. That's not human nature. God didn't make us that way. Socialism is absolutely, completely, and totally contrary to human nature. So then, okay, we'll go on. How about that? I actually stick to the script. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Okay? When you see wrong, speak up now. Don't wait. Don't, you know, it's like they say at a wedding. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Not in this world. Not in what's going on. You need to speak up. Each one of you out there has a sphere of influence. God has given you that. He who is faithful with little will be given much. And he who is faithful, or who is given much, has much responsibility. And I'll tell you what, he who is faithful with little is given much. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you work at the Department of Transportation. I don't care if you work in the basement of the parking meter department counting nickels. You have a sphere of influence. You have people around you can influence. You need to be a good person. You need to be a big person. I was talking with someone this weekend who said, yeah, but people like me, you know, I lack confidence. And it's like, no, you don't. You have a sphere of influence that God gave you. When you exercise that properly, he gives you more. And it's natural law. You have physical law and natural law. What goes around comes around. Karma is real, whatever you want to call it. What goes around comes around. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he shall also reap. He who sows to the flesh reaps corruption. He who sows to the spirit will reap life. Okay? So you do earn what you do. Now, God looks at your heart. Okay? It's not about whether you're perfect or you're struggling with a sin or, you know, or an addiction or, you know, anger or whatever, but, you know, love, let love come in your heart. And I'll tell you what, the first thing, I was going to do the show on love and forgiveness. I'm telling you right now, folks, do never be afraid to apologize. Be the first to run to your problems and apologize. The worst you can ever do and the worst thing you can ever be is a person who does serious damage and can't pick up the phone and say, I am so sorry, I was so wrong. You know, you look at Colossians, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Peter Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Luke, judge not and you won't be judged. Condemn not and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Colossians 3, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Folks, forgive, forgive, forgive. But I can't. It's so hard. I don't know how. You don't know how because of your pride. You put your pride down and you look at the person through God's eyes. You look at the person with love. You look at the person as God looks at you. You're broken. Okay, you're not perfect. You're not a hot shot. You're not better than other people. You've got just as much sin. You just don't know it. And if you don't know it, I mean, if you really can't see your sin and you're really not convicted, then you need to question your relationship with God. You may not be a believer. You either are not possibly indwelt by the Spirit, or you've done what the Bible calls quenching the Spirit. It says, do not quench the Spirit. You must listen to the Holy Spirit and forgive, 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 forgive. And love. Love is an action. Read, you can read the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. It's not envious or boastful or jealous or love doesn't rejoice in wrong but rejoices in the right. Love believes all things, hopes all things, et cetera. You give people the benefit of the doubt and you make the world a darn good place. When you are around, people love you and you want to be a good person. If you have a problem with somebody, which, I've been in business for decades and things happen, but what's most important is when the dust settles, I've rebuilt these relationships countless times. Why? Because you remain, as the Bible says, blameless. You're going to have confrontation. It's part of life. It's normal. But you don't go sinning and doing wrong and getting vengeance and using the wrong language and doing bad things. You just hold your ground for what you know is true. And if the other person's not aligned with it, it'll work out in time. But you trust God, not man, and you don't worry about man. That's what I say. So anyway, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. I'm going to say that again. Being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. Now, think about how many people you know as Christians whose primary goal is to cautiously avoid sin, parents especially. Just terrified, walk this line that basically you're not doing anything. You're not existing. God wants you to be courageous and actively doing His will. When you're out, when you talk more and you act more and you drive harder, you will make more mistakes. Okay. But call it, if it's the scale of justice, you're going to have your good works against your bad, which you really don't, because they're all forgiven by Christ's death on the cross. But the bottom line is, don't worry about sinning. I mean, don't intentionally sin, obviously, but courageously do God's work. Don't, be so, mild-mannered that you're just afraid to do anything because you might have a sin, or you might, you don't want to go to this function because there's wine there, or, all that kind of. I'm not saying go to the bar and share your faith, although I've known people who've done that, but it's stupid. But the bottom line is, just courageously do God's work. The Holy Spirit will carry you and tell you and lead you where you need to go. So, time is the most valuable thing that we have, okay? Because it is the most irrevocable. You've got health, time, and money. Those are the three major commodities of life, right? Health, time, and money. And it's like as you're growing up, you're trying to earn money. You usually have your health. But you don't have a lot of time because you're working. Then you get a little bit older maybe and you can get enough money to retire. And all of a sudden your health is going and you have more time and you might have the money, but now you don't have your health or whatever. So it's important that you realize how to balance those. Now, if you're in situations, you got yourself in financial situations that are a pickle, it may be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years to get out of it. You pray. God can help you become debt-free. He can help free you. But you can also sell things that you don't need, and you can live a simpler, better life. But time is the irrevocable. Money can be replaced. Health depends on what you're struggling with. But health, your body can rejuvenate yourself, but you cannot get back time. So time is the most valuable thing because it's irrevocable. Jesus himself did not try, think of this, to convert the two thieves on the cross. He waited until one of them turned to him. The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children right now? We have the left, the socialists, whatever you want to call them. Can you imagine what children are learning about politics? It's filled with hate and vitriol and inappropriate behavior and terrible language. And we've got all these, you know, Saul Alinsky-driven terrible acts of hatred, shaming people. There's shame and there's guilt, folks. You are not to be in shame. You are not to raise your children in shame. You don't say you're a bad boy or you're a bad dog even. You can tell the dog no, but let's talk about people. Your kids, you say, Johnny, I love you. You're a good kid, but that your actions are inappropriate, et cetera, et cetera. And you stand behind them and you try to build them up and edify. I'm not saying that every kid's going to turn out right. And there are kids that, I don't know, genetically will rebel. And I don't know what to tell you about that. But you just pray hard and you just walk with the Lord and they'll come back to you, the Bible says. And so a God, you know, I said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that leaves its children. That is so important. We've got to be thinking about that all the time. And you got to think, a God who let us prove his existence would be an idol, okay? In other words, you know, when people are like, well, if God came down and he did this and it was so obvious and there was no doubt about it, he'd just become an idol. Instead, faith is so critical and so important to us. To understand reality is not the same as to know about outward events, okay? It is to perceive the essential nature of things. The best informed man is not necessarily the wisest. Indeed, there's a danger that precisely in the multiplicity of his knowledge, he will lose sight of what is essential. But on the other hand, knowledge of an apparently trivial detail quite often makes it possible to see into the depths of things. And so the wise man will seek to acquire the best possible knowledge about events, but always without becoming dependent upon this knowledge. To recognize the significant in the factual is wisdom. That's a little deep. I wrote that a while in 2011. In a word, live together in the forgiveness of your sins. For without it, no human fellowship, least of all a marriage, can survive. You must forgive. Don't insist on your rights. Don't blame each other. Don't judge or condemn each other. Don't find fault with each other. But accept each other as you are and forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts. With you, you know, is that good? I mean, that's true, isn't it? In a word, live together in the forgiveness of your sins. For without it, no human fellowship, least of all a marriage, can survive. Without living in the forgiveness of your sins. Don't insist on your own rights. Don't blame each other. Don't judge or condemn each other. Don't find fault with each other. But accept each other as you are and forgive each other every day from the bottom of your hearts. With the U.S. government's ever-increasing stranglehold on Americans' assets, smart investors are now taking their wealth abroad. Obama tried to stop that. Long story. Failed. You know, threatened every world government. You're going to give up all U.S. citizens' information to us that you have in these private, anonymous, sovereign nations, or we will punish you. That was his heavy-duty socialism to rule the world. Scary stuff, you know, which, you know, that kind of stuff leads to war, right? So war accomplishes, and this is one thing that we're facing a little bit now. War accomplishes three main goals for the ruling class. It destroys excess capital and labor outside of the insider's walled garden, preventing those who don't play by the one world elite's rules from amassing too much wealth or power. That is one thing. The second thing war accomplishes is a means of coercing renegade leaders of the world, of the world ruling class, that decide to deviate too far away from the elitist accepted ground rules of the world domination game. Saddam Hussein of Iraq, Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, Gaddafi, right? And for some reason, we keep leaving this guy in Syria. Why? I don't know. Look at Iran. I mean, they need to be taken out, but we don't. We take out these other people just because they say, I don't like using the dollar for your oil bourse, and down they go, right? And then these guys, you know, these leaders of Muslim countries get put in situations where they have to kill people. And then you get like the Muslim Brotherhood that comes in and coerces congressmen and senators and eventually presidents and drives us into war because we're being fed by master manipulators. The Islamic Quran says that they're commanded to commit taqiyya. Taqiyya is to lie, to further the cause of Islam and Allah. There is no limit. They want to get into big office. They want to occupy the office. Many say Obama did that himself. I wouldn't disagree. He did a heck of a job of enriching many of these Islamic nations. And then the pinnacle move was giving $150 billion plus however many hundreds of millions, $400 million for four, what do you call them, people who'd been jailed over there and, you know, lied about it. And just a mess, right? So the war also mobilizes support for the ruling class domestically. They can justify more intrusion and incursion into the common private affairs of their citizens during wartime on the grounds that it's an emergency situation and that these measures are for the good of the citizenry as a whole, which is why the Constitution has the laws that the Army can't, you know, basically. Well, first of all, the Fourth Amendment against search and seizure. And then we have the constitutional amendment against the Army being able to take quarters into your home or whatever to take things over. And that's because during war, people justify heinous act. I think it's the Third Amendment was the housing of soldiers. To us, it's like, what? You know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to us now because we're not in war on our soil. But I can tell you, if we get there, you know, the no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. They would just take over people's houses. War also is an unaccountable method of generating and distributing tremendous amounts of wealth to the global elitists with no question as to the use of money. And that is why we're on the brink of war. We're going to end up in a war soon because it's a huge wealth transfer operation. Precious metals in and of themselves are the one and only way to reverse and eventually stop the increasingly corrupt economic system and how to financially prepare for a post-dollar world. Okay, the dollar's collapsing, whether you like it or not. We've gone from $3.4 trillion in deficit under Bush to, what, $23 trillion under Trump. We're running rampant. It's going to ultimately collapse. It's going to be a hyperinflationary collapse that no one sees coming. No one expects it because you're not going to see, like, people go, so you think, people always ask, so you think the stock market's going to crash? It's like, it'll crash up. Well, what's that mean? You lose all your spending power. Now, if you combine the loss of spending power from hyperinflation with an actual market crash, which is very likely coming, because I've talked to so many people that are, you know, have all these 401ks and IRAs and 623Bs and 503Bs, and, you know, it depends where they work, 628s, whatever. And I'm like, so how you been doing? I say, I assume you're making money with the markets. Nope. And I'm like, what? How can that be? You know, since Trump got in office, the markets doubled. The indexes have doubled. And people are like, no, haven't made money. And I'm like, yep, that's right. Because it's an artificial index. They remove and replace stocks to give you a false impression of or false sense of peace. And so, you know, you just, yeah. Bottom line is the dollar is just being stretched and beaten and stretched and beaten, kind of like a pizza maker pounding the dough out. Fear and greed are the two most powerful motivators known to man. Okay. In elections, which we have one coming up, and we're starting with the Democratic attacks on Trump and saying he's going to sit in office and won't give up his seat. And today I heard Democrats on the radio saying, oh, you know, he's got so many powerful supporters. If he loses the election, they'll take over the White House and we'll never get it back. Well, that's just malarkey. Trump is there to help the country. If it doesn't work, he'll leave. He's fine. He had a great life before. But they're always vilifying and coming up with just ridiculous stuff. In elections, candidates are elected based on people's fears and greed, aren't they? Fear of a loss of money. Greed. I want free stuff. Fear of failure. They want greed for gain and jealousy. Some of the most successful political campaigns in history are run on the fear and greed of the constituency. The momentum of the Obama campaign was generated by preying upon people's fears and greed. He preyed upon people's fear of loss to the other guy and their greed to take from the other guy or simply to gain for themselves. Guess what? They know it's never, the promises are never kept. Many of the campaign's corrupt politicians worldwide are also driven by their own greed. It's said that a U.S. Senate seat will guarantee a candidate. Now, this was in 2011. It said that a U.S. Senate seat will guarantee a candidate a minimum additional lifetime earnings of $10 million in consulting board positions and executive positions, in addition to the lifetime guaranteed salary of was $170,000 a year, now $180,000 a year, with yearly cost of living raises as well as a benefits package that is absolutely second to none. Well, that's worth fighting for in a lot of people's minds. Become a senator, become multi-millionaire, get this incredible salary the rest of your life with cost of living and a benefits package that's second to none. Buying physical precious metals is by far the greatest act of wisdom, resistance, and self-preservation that any American could and should be doing right now. The value is tremendous. It's just never been like this. It's just it was like this back in the 90s. And people who got in, you know what happened? They made megabucks. And while everybody else was losing their money, they gained. I did it. I ended up buying waterfront property at a beautiful 5 acres out on Coeur d'Alene, and sold it about 7 years later for over double what I paid for it. And believe me, I paid a pretty penny. But when you double at that level, it pays off. So it's what you should be doing right now. This is the best buying opportunity. It's both a silver bullet to rebel against the elite's corrupt system and a silver shield to protect your family and wealth in a post-dollar world. Will we face a post-dollar world? I think we will. I don't know when, but I not if, but when. It may be soon. It's coming, folks. If you have any economic knowledge at all, even, you know, you can't, the math doesn't work. Every one of us owes over $1 million, right? So it's silver or shield to protect your family and wealth in a post-dollar world. Buying physical silver is nonviolent, non-compliant resistance. Most importantly, it works outside of the system and can't be stopped. As long as you play by the elite's rules, the elite will rule. Any effort trying to work within the elite's paradigm will fail. The you remember the Tea Party march back in on Washington failed to change the course of Washington bureaucrats. It failed like the 2010 Tea Party congressional campaign because nothing happened and nothing changed. That's not to say they weren't not great exercises in power. It just will never bring about any real change because awareness campaigns and marches are not enough. The elite that control our reality don't really care what we do or say as long as we don't threaten the root of their power. They say the same about the Fed. You can say all you want bad about the Fed, but when you're JFK and you have an executive order to abolish him, you get assassinated. Do some research on that. There's no doubt that's what caused it. We have to hack at the root. And then General Alexander Haig said, let them march all they want so long as they pay their taxes. Think about that, you know. An escalating awareness and accumulation of precious metals by the American public is one financial plan that will fundamentally change the game and do it from the outside the broken and corrupt economic system. It will overthrow the elitist system that enslaves us with debt, and it does so without a shot being fired. Most importantly, there's no way the elite can stop it. The plan is very simple. Sell every single liquid asset you own, and put it in physical precious metals. Now, if you're not comfortable doing all that, put in, you know, a certain amount or, you know, secure yourself. It's God's money. The Bible endorses it, authorizes it. It's a liquid. It's transportable. It's compact. It's permanent. I mean, you think about it. Gold is the only element that defies the laws of entropy. Gold is the only element that defies the second law of thermodynamics. It's beautiful. It's the most molecularly perfect item. God said it's gold in Genesis 2. Throughout the entire Bible, he gave it to Jesus. It's all over heaven. It's a no-brainer, folks. It's just a no-brainer. And, you know, you get brokers that'll make you think you're going to make some money. You're not going to make money. They go, you got to invest in stuff that makes money like corporations. Yeah, put all your faith in man. And be a shareholder so that you're the last person to get paid after everybody else. You know where you end up in that situation. I mean, the dips are usually about five times as long as the peaks. As with anything else in life, knowing the answer is not as important as knowing the why. The public school systems, as you're aware, are stealing the minds of our children. That's where we get the 77% millennial desire for socialism. It teaches them what to think, not how to think. The devil takes God's wisdom and twists it for evil. It is wise to be cautiously skeptical and always ask why in search of truth, righteousness, and justice. Yes, that's what they used to teach our kids. But our schools teach our children to ask why, but not in search of truth, but more so in search of a breakdown of authority. They question why they have to do what they're told, and the schools call it free thinking. The why of biblical wisdom is to question whether the teachings of elders and educators is in line with the wisdom of God and the Bible. The schools teach children what to think, and the continuous media brainwashing onslaught is the aftercare to maintain the adult public's ignorance and obedience to the status quo. The why in search of truth is what brings about fundamental change in your thinking. The change in thinking brings about absolute certainty of the financial outcome of this nation and the world's economy, which is in shambles. You know, they keep pumping out fiat currency, folks. You can't go forever that way. You can't keep charging on your credit, living on your credit card, right? Absolute certainty brings about massive action. The truth will set you free, but the truth can be very shocking at times. The economic truths we're currently faced with is really that bad, as so many people ask themselves. The good news is that there's a simple and guaranteed solution, and that solution is a conversion of the, you know, whatever amount you're comfortable with into precious metals. It's simple. I mean, I don't care if you got a 401k, IRA, whatever. We do it all the time. It's easy, fast, simple. You obviously need to you want to secure food, water, secure shelter, clothing, you know, guns and ammo, and life necessary supplies, medical provisions, and all that stuff before you invest all your liquid assets In precious metals or however much you're comfortable with. The most important preparation you can make is mental preparation. The whole premise on all this is our banking system. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll read this quote. Banking was conceived in iniquity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create money, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine, from this quote, will disappear, and they ought to disappear, for this would be a happier and better world to live in. Then he says, but if you wish to remain the slaves of bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create money. That was Sir Josiah Stamp, the director of the Bank of England, appointed in 1928 and reputed to be the second wealthiest man in the world at the time. So he obviously got it. We can pick up next show where precious metals are the Achilles heel of the elite's paradigm by transferring their fake corrupt paper money into real honest money like silver and gold. That will ultimately destroy their control of the money and debt system. The more money and debt they create, the more it will work against them as we put more of that money into precious metals. So think of it. Every single evil in this world is only made possible through the elite's debt and money system. That's how they fund and finance wars. Otherwise, the old system, people had to think. That's why they conquered, to recover their losses. We just keep pumping it out and transferring debt all over through the control of the privately and foreign-owned central banks. The elite control our money, food, industries, government, media, natural resources, think about it, capital markets, military, and ultimately you. And you notice in there was, you know, the food, our money, everything, the media. It enables wars, propaganda, police state, corruption, pollution, crime, drug trade, disintegration of families, etc. And, you know, so we'll just leave it there. But anyway, you get the point, right? This is reality. This is truth. Sometimes it comes on strong. Give us a review on Google. Get a free silver dollar. Give us 3 reviews online. Get 2 silver dollars, Morgan's that is. And also give us a call and let us help you build a portfolio. Take care. God bless. Hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. I love you. Bye-bye.